Indeed, all praises to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask His forgiveness, and we seek the refuge of Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evils of our deeds. And I bear witness that there's no deity worthy of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His final messenger. With us on the phone today is Fadilatul Shaykh Khalid Abdul Rahman al Misri Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala from the Mashayikh of Egypt. And inshallah, the Shaykh will talk to us about the topic of extremism in religion. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward the Shaykh lavishly for the time that he is giving us. فليتفضل الشيخ مشكورا.
جزاك الله خيرا. نبدأ إن شاء الله.
تفضل شيخنا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أجمعين. أما بعد، فأول ما أبتدئ مع إخواني، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ثم أرى لزاما علي بعد السلام أن أبتدئ بالاعتذار عن موعد أو عدة مواعيد كنت اتفقت مع إخواننا عليها، ثم لم يتيسر لي أن أوفي بتلك المواعيد لظروف خاصة، فأنا ابتداء أعتذر لإخواني عن تلك المواعيد التي مضت. نعم.
The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he began by saying, indeed all praises to Allah, the Lord of all creation, and may the exaltations of Allah and His greetings be upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and his family members, all of them. To proceed, the first of matters that I view as incumbent upon me to address is to begin by apologizing to my brothers for the previous agreed upon sessions that never came through due to reasons specific to me. And so due to that, I feel that the first thing I must address is to apologize for those appointments that were never fulfilled. أقول شيخنا نيابة عن الإخوة عذركم قائم بغير اعتذار الله يحفظكم.
جزاكم الله خيرا. نعم. ثم بعد ذلك أقول بارك الله فيكم وحفظكم الله، إن الله سبحانه وتعالى أنعم على المسلمين بأن جعل دينهم دين الحق، وأمرهم الله عز وجل بلزومه وبالدعوة إليه وبالصبر عليه، وجعل نجاة المسلم تمسكه بالحق الذي جاء عن الله ورسوله وعن السلف الصالحين، وعلى رأسهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. نعم.
The Shaykh is Allah Khairan continued, he's saying, to proceed, I say may Allah bless you all and preserve you indeed from the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the people of Islam, that He made their religion the religion of the truth, and that He commanded them subhanahu wa ta'ala to adhere to it and to adhere to calling to it and to be patient upon that path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the saving of the people of Islam and made their survival hinged upon the affair of adhering tenaciously to His religion, to the truth that has come from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the truth that has come from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which the pious predecessors were upon, especially so the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
لم يقبلوه ووقعوا في الغلو في دينهم، فكان الغلو في دينهم سببا لتركهم الدين ولعدم قبولهم له. فقال الله جل وعلا محذرا المسلمين أن يسلكوا في الحق ما سلك أهل الكتاب من الغلو، فقال تعالى يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق، إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه، فآمنوا بالله ورسوله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا خيرا لكم، إنما الله إله واحد، سبحانه أن يكون له ولد، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وكفى بالله وكيلا. فهذه الآية المباركة فيها أنواع من بيان الواجبات التي ينبغي على المسلم أن ينتبه إليها. فأول ذلك الواجب أن يقبل الحق وأن لا يغلو في دينه وغلو أهل الكتاب. نعم.
The Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan, he proceeded, he said, as for other than the people of Islam, surely when the truth came to them, they refused it, and they fell into the issues of extremism. And this was a reason for them to leave the deen altogether and to not accept it when it comes to them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in regard to this affair, warning the people of Islam from falling into the same that the people of the book before them fell into, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغُلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. O people of the book, do not become extreme in your religion and do not say, upon Allah accept the truth. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ. Surely, Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salatu wassalam, he's only the messenger of Allah and his word that he has thrown to Mary and a soul from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers and do not say three. Cease, it is better for you. Surely Allah is only one deity. Subhanahu an yakuna lahu walad. Exalted be he that he may have a child. And surely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made many benefits available in this verse, and from amongst them that within it is the admonishment to accept the truth from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and to avoid the matter of extremism in the religion. Tafaddalu Shaykh.
وهنا يجب على المسلم أن يتأكد يعلم ما هو الغلو الذي نهى الله جل وعلا أهل الكتاب عنه، وضمن ذلك نهيه تبارك وتعالى للمسلمين أن يسلكوا مسلك أهل الكتاب في الغلو في الدين. وما هو الغلو؟ الجواب أن الآية نفسها أشارت إلى معنى الغلو، فإنه قال يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق. فالغلو هو أن ينسب إلى الله جل وعلا وإلى دينه وإلى شرعه وإلى نبيه كل ما لم يشرعه الله، وأن يزاد في الدين تقربا إلى الله بالباطل، فيغلو ويشتد الإنسان في غير موضع الحق ويقع في الشدة والغلو التي نهى الله عنها بمخالفة الحق ظنا منه أنه يتقرب بذلك
إلى الله تبارك وتعالى. نعم. الله خيرا. He said, and at this juncture, it is incumbent upon us to realize what it is exactly that falls under the definition of extremism. That extremism that the people of the book have been forbidden by this verse from falling into, and that which by association the people of Islam are commanded to not fall into the same. So what is it? The verse itself actually includes a reference to it, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to them, لا تغلو في دينكم. Do not become extreme in your religion. ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق. And do not say about Allah upon Allah except for the truth. So the definition here found within the verse itself is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that extremism in the religion is to attribute to Allah Azza wa Jalla that which he did not say, to attribute to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla that which is not from it, to attribute to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which he never said. All of this that Allah Azza wa Jalla has not legislated, to add it and attribute it to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the intention of doing this as something that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst it is a falsehood. And so this is extremism, and this is adding to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which is not from it, out of extremism, out of harshness, and bringing hardship to the religion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in an affair that was forbidden upon the believers. All of that that goes against the truth and is not from it. تفضلوا شيخ.
وكذا حذر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أمته من الغلو في الدين، كما أخرج الإمام أحمد في المسند وصححه الإمام الألباني وغيره من حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين أراد أن يرمي الجمرة في منى أمر ابن عباس أن يلتقط له حصى صغيرة ليرمي بها، فوضعها في يده ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم بأمثال هؤلاء بأمثال هؤلاء، ثم قال إياكم والغلو، فإنما هلك من كان قبلكم بالغلو في الدين. فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رمي الجمار بحصى صغيرة، وبين أنه إذا جاوز الحصى الصغار إلى حصى كبيرة أو أحجار كبيرة ليرمي بها فقد وقع في الغلو. فقال إياكم والغلو، مع أن هذا في عبادة من العبادات وهي رمي الجمار، ومع ذلك بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الغلو يدخل في العبادات حتى يدخل في مثل هذه الحال. نعم.
شيخ جزاه الله خيرا continued, and likewise the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned his ummah, his nation, from the affair of extremism in the religion, as found in the hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala in the Musnad on the authority of Abdullah ibn al-Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and this hadith is authenticated by Sheikh Nasir al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded him to collect some small stones for him to throw the jamarat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mina. And so Abdullah ibn al-Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma brought them and placed them in the hand of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these small pebbles. And so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commented, he said, throw the like of these. And then he proceeded on and he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ. Beware of extremism. Beware of extremism and harshness. For surely, those before you were only annihilated and destroyed because of their extremism in the religion. And so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified in this hadith that the throwing of the stones in Mina, in the Jamarat, is to be done and performed using small pebbles. However, if a man was to go beyond that and to seek to throw rocks, larger rocks, then indeed he has fallen into extremism. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned of that by saying, beware of extremism. Although this is an act of worship, the act of worship of throwing the stones in Mina, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified that you can fall into extremism even in an act of worship such as this one by going beyond that which is legislated. تفضل شيخ.
وقد سأل الإمام صالح كما في مسائل صالح لأبيه الإمام صالح ابن الإمام أحمد قال وسألته أي سأل أباه الإمام أحمد عن حديث ابن عباس إياكم والغلو إنا أهلك من كان قبلكم الغلو قال بي لا تغلو في شيء حتى الحب والبغض لا تغلو في شيء حتى الحب والبغض فبين الإمام أحمد أن المراد بالغلو هو المبالغة والتشدد في كل شيء حتى في الحب والبغض وإنما تحب باعتدال وتبغض باعتدال حتى لا يجرك التشديد إلى ما يخالف الحق فتقع في الغلو نعم
Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he mentioned on behalf of Al-Imam Salih ibn Ahmad, this is the son of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, that in the masail of Salih, the questions of Salih, meaning to his father, he says that he has asked his father Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said that he asked him regarding the affair of the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إياكم والغلو, beware of extremism. And in Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he stated an explanation of this particular statement. He said, do not become extreme in anything, not even in the affair of love and the affair of hatred. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah clarified that what is intended by غلو, by extremism, is to become excessive in any affair, to become harsh in any affair, to become extreme in any affair, even the matter of love and hatred, such that the excessiveness and the extremism in it does not cause you to fall outside of the boundaries of the truth.
وقد بين النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام خطر الغلو في الدين وما يترتب على الغلو فقال إياكم والغلو فإنما هلك من كان قبلكم بالغلو في الدين فرتب على الغلو الهلاك وأن هذا الذي يقع منه الغلو وهو التشديد في غير ما أمر به عاقبته الهلاك لأنه يهلك مع أن الذي حمله على الغلو في ظنه هو الديانة والتمسك بالحق ومع هذا الظن الخاطئ فإنه آل به الأمر بدل أن ينجو من عذاب الله وقع في الهلاك وهلك بسبب وقوعه في التشدد على غير ما أمر به فالهلاك هو عاقبة الغلو نعوذ بالله
لشيخ جزاه الله خيرا he said and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has clarified the severe danger of the matter of excessiveness in the religion, and he clarified sallallahu alayhi wasallam its consequences, where he said إياكم الغلو فإنما هلك من كان قبلكم أو إنما أهلك من كان قبلكم الغلو في الدين. For surely, beware of excessiveness in religion, extremism in it. For surely, that which annihilated those before you is extremism in religion. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam has basically made this a causative relation, where the extremism is the cause that leads to annihilation, that leads to destruction. And he clarified, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this individual that has fallen into excessiveness and extremism in that which he has not been commanded to do, his inevitable affair and his end is to be destroyed. Although the man's intention and what he was truly seeking may have been the pleasure of Allah and that he become more religious and more pious to his Lord and thinking that he is more firmly upon the truth. However, look how his inevitability is and look at what his consequences were, that instead of being saved from the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he fell into an affair that caused his own destruction. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarifies that annihilation is the inevitable end of all those who fall into extremism in the religion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. تفضل شيخ.
وتأملوا يرحمنا الله وإياكم كيف وقع كثير من العباد في الغلو حتى تحقق فيهم قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنما هلك من كان قبلكم بالغلو. ومن أوضح الناس الذين وقعوا في هذا الغلو هم الخوارج الذين ظهروا في زمن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. كان الخوارج من أكثر الناس عبادة واجتهادا وقراءة القرآن وقيام الليل وصيام النهار والزهد في الدنيا، ومع ذلك جرهم الغلو حتى كفروا من كفروه من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، وطعنوا في العلماء واستحلوا دماء من استحلوه من الصحابة، فخرجوا عليهم بالسيف حتى قتلوا من قتلوا من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فتأمل كيف جر الغلو الخوارج إلى أن كفروا العلماء واستحلوا دماء الصحابة يتقربون إلى الله بدمهم. فهذا مظهر من مظاهر الغلو، نعوذ بالله.
The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he says, contemplate the affair, may Allah have mercy upon us and you, of extremism, and how that some of the most fervent of worshippers have fallen into extremism to the point that the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that surely the thing that caused the annihilation of those before you is extremism in the religion, have become truly exemplified in them. And from the clearest of examples regarding this affair is the affair of the Khawarij, the sect known as the Khawarij, who appeared in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And they were known to be from the most fervent of worshippers amongst the people, and those who strived the hardest in the application of the acts of worship, and the recitation of the Qur'an, and the night prayers, and the fasting, and even the abstinence from the affairs of the dunya. However, look at how extremism and excessiveness dragged them and kept on luring them until they fell into the affair of ruling and issuing judgments of takfir, ruling that some of the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of his companions, are disbelievers, and how they accused the people of knowledge of being insincere, and how they deemed as halal, as permissible, the blood of some of the people, of rather some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that led them to using the sword against the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they ended up killing whomever they killed from amongst the Sahaba. The Shaykh says, contemplate how extremism led them to issuing these rulings of takfir, issuing these judgments of disbelief against the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And so at the end of their affair, they sought to come close to Allah through spilling the blood of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ولم ينتهي أمر الغلو والغلاة، فإن الغلو قائم في كل زمان إلى ما شاء الله. ومن مظاهر هذا الغلو أيضا ما يقوم به هؤلاء الخوارج من الخروج على ولاة الأمر بسبب ظلم ولاة الأمر لهم ولغيرهم في ظنهم، وربما يكون ظلم الولاة حقيقة، وربما يكون دعوى وافتراء، فيخرج هؤلاء الخوارج على ولاة الأمر يستحلون الدماء ويقاتلون وينزعون يد الطاعة من الحاكم المسلم بحجة تغيير المنكر، فيقع تشددهم في حجة تغييرهم للمنكر في منكر أعظم وأشد، وهو نزع يد الطاعة من ولاة الأمر.
The Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan explains, he says, and the affair of extremism and the extremists has surely not ended, but rather it is an affair that will continue throughout time so long as Allah Azza wa Jal wills for it to continue. And from the examples of it in the modern times is that which the Khawarij and their likes are doing from the affair of going against the leaders and the rulers of the lands. And they will claim that this is their excuse, that the leadership and the rulers are unjust and unfair. And sometimes that injustice is actually true and it has occurred, and sometimes it is entirely fabricated and simply built upon guesswork. However, based upon that, they will exit from the obedience to the leadership, and they will begin fighting and deeming the blood of the people of Islam to be halal for them, and they will refuse the covenant of obedience to the leaders that they had taken and reject it. And their excuse for all of this is that they are changing the evil. Look at how their extremism in the affair of changing the evils and forbidding the evils had led them to commit far more severe evils than that which they are attempting to change. Tafadhal Sheikh. طيب.
نعم.
السلام عليكم.
بسم الله.
تفضلوا شيخنا.
فأقول، فإذا تبين ما في الغلو مما نهى الله عنه وما يترتب عليه من ضياع وما ينتج عنه من الهلاك، كان من الواجب أن يعلم المسلم كيف يقي نفسه من الغلو، وهذا لا يكون أبدا إلا بالعلم الشرعي، فإن العلم الذي جاء عن الله ورسوله وعن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وعن تابعيهم من السلف الصالح هو الحق، فإذا ما لازم المسلم الحق حينئذ يوقن بأنه خرج من الغلو، لذلك حين ذكر الله الغلو في أهل الكتاب قال ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق، فعلم أن من تمسك بالحق خرج من الغلو، وهذا لا يكون إلا بطلب العلم وملازمة العلماء ومعرفة قدرهم والثناء عليهم. نعم.
Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he says, continuing on, so if it becomes now clear, the affairs that relate to extremism in the religion, that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbidden, and that which results from it in terms of becoming lost and misguided, and that which it leads to in terms of annihilation and destruction, it becomes clearly obligatory upon every Muslim to learn how to protect himself and how to free himself of any excessiveness and extremism in religion. And surely the only path that leads to this protection is the path of knowledge. The knowledge of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which was understood by the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. That which comes from Allah jalla wa ala and from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that from the generation of the Sahaba is the truth. And thus we say, whoever adheres to the truth will exit from excessiveness and will not fall into extremism in the religion. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal, when He admonished the people of the book regarding this affair, He said to them, وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ, and do not say upon Allah except the truth. So Allah then clarified that by remaining with the truth and saying upon Allah only the truth, you will emerge from and you will be cured from any excessiveness and any extremism. And there is surely no way to learn this truth except by seeking knowledge and recognizing the rights of the scholars, and by deeming them virtuous and lauding them and respecting them for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Tafadhal
Sheikh. لذلك أقول إن من أراد الله به الحق أجده يسلك مسالك العلماء، يثني عليهم، يذكرهم بالجميل، يعرف لهم قدرهم، لا يتبعهم في زلات بعضهم، بل يلتمس لهم العذر، ولا يتابع العالم إذا زل، فتجده يتعلق بالعلماء ويعلق الناس بهم. فإذا رأيت الرجل على هذا الوصف فاعلم أنه على الحق وأنه قد خرج من الغلو. وأما إذا رأيت الرجل يسلك مسالك الخوارج، الطعن في العلماء ولا يرفع بهم رأسا ولا يثني عليهم ولا يعلق الناس بهم، فاعلم أن فيه شعبة من شعب الغلو. من هنا الواجب أن يعرف من هم العلماء الذين يجب ملازمتهم والاستفادة منهم. هم علماء السنة في كل زمان وفي كل عصر، وفي زماننا هذا من أحيائهم الموجودين العلامة المحدث الشيخ ربيع، والفقيه العلامة الشيخ عبيد الجابري، والفقيه العلامة الفوزان، والمحدث العلامة الشيخ عبيد، يعني الشيخ العباد. وقس على ذلك من كان من أهل العلم والبصيرة والتقى ومن شهد له أهل العلم، فهؤلاء ندين الله تبارك وتعالى بحبهم وبمتابعتهم وبالدعاء لهم وباجتناب زلات أو زلة من زل وأخطأ في مسألة ما منهم، وتصان كرامة العالم ما دام سنيا سلفيا صاحب أصول سلفية نقية. فهذا خارق، هذا فارق واضح بين اتباع الحق وبين الوقوع في الغلو، وفقنا الله وإياكم. نعم.
دي شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said, for this reason I say that whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for him, he will teach him the truth regarding this affair and clarify it for him such that he will tread upon the path of the scholars. You will find him walking their path and praising them and mentioning their beautiful traits and speaking about them well, and he recognizes their status and does not follow after and look for and examine after their mistakes, and rather he seeks to find excuses for them if one of them should fall into a mistake, and he does not follow them in their opinions that are mistaken. And likewise, he is one that follows the scholars, and he is one that links the people to the scholars. However, if you see a man upon this description, then surely you can recognize that this man is upon the truth, and that this man has exited from the affair of extremism and the affair of excessiveness in the religion of Allah. But if you see a man that has fallen into the affair of the Khawarij as regards his stance upon the scholars, that he is accusative to the scholars and does not deem them worthy and does not hold them in high regard and does not praise them, and that he does not follow them and he does not link the people to them and attach the people's hearts to the scholars, then surely you can recognize that this is a man who has fallen into one of the branches of extremism and excessiveness in the religion of Allah. And based upon this, we say it is incumbent then upon the Muslim to recognize who are these scholars that we have to laud, we have to respect, and we have to follow in their guided footsteps. Indeed, they are the scholars of the Sunnah. In every time, in every age of this nation, they are the scholars of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our modern times, today, from the people that we have recognized to have fallen into that category, the category of the scholars of the Sunnah, is the Shaykh al-Allama, the Muhaddith, the scholar of Fiqh, Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. And likewise, Shaykh al-Faqih, Ubayd al-Jabiri, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. And likewise, Shaykh al-Faqih, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. And likewise, Shaykh al-Muhaddith, al-Allama, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. These and other scholars from their rank and from their caliber, from the people of the Sunnah, the scholars of the Sunnah, are the ones that we follow in their footsteps. These are the people that we come to recognize that they have knowledge and they have insight and they have taqwa. These are the ones that we deem it our religion before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to love them and to call upon Allah and supplicate for them, or to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal on their behalf. And likewise, we avoid falling into a mistake that any of them should make if they make a mistake, but rather we follow them in the affairs of guidance. And if one of them is to make a mistake, then this doesn't mean that we chastise them or that we dishonor them and mistreat them, but rather, so long as they're upon the Sunnah and upon the foundations of the people of piety from the predecessors, then indeed we continue to hold them in the highest of regards, although we may avoid a mistake that one of them has fallen into. And this is a large and distinguishing item of difference between us and the people who are upon the methodology of extremism in the religion and the methodology of the Khawarij. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us success. تفضل شيخ.
وأختم كلمتي هذه بأن أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله. اجتهاد في طلب العلم. أن لا نضيع أعمارنا في غير ما يرجع على ديننا بفائدة وقربة إلى الله، وأن تتآلفوا فيما بينكم، وأن يكون بينكم المحبة والمودة، وتتواصون بالحق، وكذا تتواصون بالصبر، وأن تكونوا على منهج واحد وطريقة واحدة، وهي طريقة السلف الصالح، أن تجتهدوا في إصلاح أخلاقكم حتى تكون على أخلاق الأنبياء وأتباعهم، فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى يجعل الحق سببا لرفعة العبد ونجاته في الدنيا والآخرة. وفقنا الله وإياكم، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. تفضل.
Allah barik fikum. The Shaykh Jazallah Khairan, he continued saying, and I will conclude this little talk with advising myself and my brothers the piety to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and fearing Him, and to strive to our utmost in seeking the knowledge, and that we do not waste our lives and waste our times in other than that which causes benefit to come back to us. And likewise, I advise my brothers to become harmonious amongst themselves, and let there be love and kindness amongst your ranks, and admonish each other with the truth, and likewise advise each other with patience, and be upon one path and one methodology, that being the methodology of the pious predecessors. Strive and spend effort in mending your mannerisms until you become upon the manners of the prophets of Allah and His messengers, and the manners of the pious. And strive to be upon the truth that will raise you by the permission of Allah and elevate you, and will cause you to meet all of the success of this life and the life to come. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجزي لكم المثوبة شيخنا. بعض الأسئلة حضرتنا من الإخوة، هل تأذنون بشيء منها؟
تفضل.
أحسن الله إليكم. سائل يسأل يقول: إذا عرف من الأخ السلفي أنه أخطأ في مسألة منهجية، سواء ظن أن ذلك كان من خطأ في التعبير، يعني خانه التعبير، أو غير ذلك، وهو الخطأ كان على العلانية، هل ينبغي أن يصحح هذا الخطأ علانية من طريق الإخوة فينكر عليه علانية، أو ينبغي أن ينصح في الخفاء ويجعل هو الذي يكون يعني يسحب مقولته التي قال حفاظا لكرامته؟ أفيدونا مأجورين.
أولا، الخطأ سواء كان من سلفي أو كان من غير سلفي، فإن الواجب أن يرد الخطأ كائنا من كان الذي أتى به. وأما كيفية رد هذا الخطأ فهذا يختلف، ربما تقتضي المصلحة أحيانا أن يناصح صاحب الخطأ فيما بينه وبين الناصح، ثم هو يصحح خطأ نفسه. وربما تقتضي المصلحة غير ذلك، ربما تقتضي المصلحة غير ذلك، بأن يرد على الخطأ علنا. وأذكر أن العلامة الشيخ ابن باز حين رد على الإمام أخيه العلامة الألباني في مسألة القبض بعد الرفع من الركوع أو الإرسال، فإن الشيخ العلامة الشيخ ابن باز رد في رسالة فيها الأدب وفيها العلم على أخيه العلامة الشيخ الألباني. كذلك حين رد العلامة الشيخ حمود التويجري على أخيه العلامة الشيخ ابن عثيمين في مسألة المعية، كذلك حين طلب العلامة ابن باز من ذاك المنشرف عبد الرحمن عبد الخالق أن يبين رجوعه خطئه، هذا تعامل الأئمة مع إخوانهم الأئمة وتعامل الأئمة مع المنحرف عن السنة. إذن هذا الأمر يدور مع حسب ما يترجح من المصلحة وما يندفع من المفسدة، فربما استعمل هذا وربما استعمل ذاك. هل فهمتني؟
أي نعم شيخنا،
تفضل أجب إخوانك ونحن معك إن شاء الله.
Allah yibarik fikum. The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he began his answer by saying, to proceed, the first thing that we must address is that mistakes are to be clarified and to be responded to regardless of whether the one who commits them is a Salafi. But rather, the methodology of, forgive me, Ikhwan, the question is, if individual falls into a mistake and the individual upon the Salafiyya and he makes a mistake, whether in the manhaj otherwise, and he chooses the wrong words and this mistake has been committed publicly, should the advice and should there be the rectification of this mistake be given to the brother in a public forum as well, or should he be advised privately in an attempt to preserve the brother's honor? The Shaykh Jazallah Khairan, he responded saying, mistake that occurs from a Salafi or other than a Salafi needs to be addressed. However, the method of addressing such a mistake may differ. Sometimes the the benefit will be found and it's necessary that the brother is advised privately and then he be allowed to fix his error and retract his statements. And sometimes the benefit lies elsewhere and what is appropriate is to respond in a public fashion. And I remember that Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala has responded to Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah in the matter of whether to hold the hands together or to drop them by the sides after coming up from ruku' in a treatise that was published in which he included rahimahullah ta'ala the knowledge and the good manners in his address to Sheikh al-Albani. And likewise, Sheikh Humud al-Tuwajri, he responded to Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala with an affair rather regarding the affair of the ma'iyya of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in a treatise that was as well published. And likewise Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, when he asked that deviant Abdul Rahman Abdul Khaliq to clarify his position on certain issues, that was also public. However, what we say and the summary is that the decision whether to do this publicly in a public forum or to do it privately, it's one that revolves around the issues of benefits versus harms. Where the benefit lies is where we should decide whether to do this publicly or in private. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Naam. Wa ilaykum ya Rabb wa ilaykum.
Allahumma amin. Jazakum khair shaykhana. Indana sa'il yas'al yaqul. عندنا بعض الناس يعني ممن يعني يذكرون الكلام السيء في حق الشيخ عبيد والشيخ عبد الله البخاري والشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب الوصابي اليمني هل تنصحون شيخنا يعني كيف طريقة التعامل مع هؤلاء الذين يطعنون في هؤلاء المشايخ على وجه الخصوص؟
أقول بارك الله فيكم، كما ذكرت في أول الكلام في الدرس أن الطعن في العلماء هذا سبيل المنحرفين عن السنة. فالشيخ عبيد إمام من أئمة أهل السنة، شهد له أهل العلم بذلك، الشيخ محمد بن هادي أبو أنس عالم من العلماء الكبار، شهد له أهل العلم بذلك، الشيخ عبد الله البخاري من أفاضل الأشياخ نفع الله به. لذلك الذي يطعن في هؤلاء المشايخ فإنه لا ينبغي لكم أن تداخلوه، بل الواجب أن يجانب وأن لا يداخل، وينبغي أن يعلم أن الثناء على أهل السنة إنما هو ديانة ليس أمرا نفسيا. كذلك الشيخ الغصابي من أفاضل الأشياخ يثني عليه العلماء كالإمام ربيع وغيره، ولكني أقول بارك الله فيكم، مع هذا الذي أعتقده وأدين ربي به، أرى أن لا ينشغل الشباب بمثل هذه المسائل حتى تصير هذه همهم الشاغل، بل الواجب أن يعنوا بالعلم وأن يقبلوا على العلم وأن يناصحوا هؤلاء المخطئين إذا كانوا ممن يقبل النصح بالحجة والبرهان والحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، وإلا فلا يفتحوا هذا الباب ويكثروا فيه القيل والقال، وإنما كما ذكرت أن يحسنوا الثناء على العلماء ولا ينشغلوا بمثل هذا حتى يصبح الشغل الشاغل بين الشباب، حتى يشغلهم ذلك عن طلب العلم. فهذا الذي أراه، وأسأل الله أن يوفق الجميع.
اللهم آمين. Yeah, Sheikh Jazawallah Khairan was asked for advice regarding certain people who spread ill speech regarding the major scholars like Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab al-Usabi and others. How can we deal with these particular types of individuals? The Sheikh Jazawallah Khairan, he asked Allah Azza wa Jal for his blessings to bestow upon us. And he said, as we mentioned previously, this is surely from the path of those who are misguided off of the Sunnah to speak ill of the people of knowledge. Sheikh Ubaid Hafizahullah Ta'ala is from the Imams, the leaders of the scholars of the people of the Sunnah. And this is something that the scholars of Islam have testified to. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi Hafizahullah Ta'ala is a scholar from amongst the ranks of the major scholars of this Ummah. The scholars of Islam have testified to this fact. Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari Hafizahullah Ta'ala is from the virtuous scholars. I ask Allah to benefit through him. And these are people, whoever criticizes them and seeks to find flaw for them, surely is not one who we mingle with, but rather this is an individual that we avoid. And the like of him is not one that should be kept the company of. But rather, it must be known that the praise of the likes of these scholars is is something that we do for the sake of Allah. It is part of our religion that we speak well of the likes of these people. And it is not an affair that is simply an affair of the heart. And likewise, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Wasabi حفظه الله تعالى, is from the virtuous scholars, people of knowledge, have issued words of praise regarding him, such as the Sheikh Rabi' and others. And despite this, I say, it is my opinion that the youth should not waste their time in making this the foremost of their attention, but rather they should busy themselves with knowledge and turn their attention and their focus and their desire and their full strength to the affair of regaining knowledge. And let not this type of affair expire their time. And advise those who have fallen into such affairs, if you see amongst them those who will accept advice. Advise them with proofs and clear explanations and the words of the scholars and sound admonishment. However, do not busy yourselves with such affairs, because these affairs have the ability to eradicate and finish your time and waste it upon other than that which is beneficial. Rather, your main focus and your sole focus should be on the gaining of knowledge and to busy yourself with that which is beneficial. أحسن الله إليكم شيخنا. كأنه بقي سؤال.
تفضل.
الله يزيد فضلكم. سائل يسأل يقول, بعض الناس يبني على حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لابد من إزالة الحاكم الكافر, ثم يشطح في ذلك ويكفر مثلا حكام الدولة السعودية, يقولون أنهم جعلوا الحلال حراما وجعلوا الحرام حلالا, ويصف من هذه الشبهات مثلا أنهم إيش جعلوا البنوك الربوية وأذنوا للكفار بنزول بلاد الحرمين وما أشبه, كيف الرد على من كانت هذه مقالته؟
أقول أولا, أبواب التكفير والحكم على المعين بالكفر هذا من اختصاص أهل العلم, لا سيما في المسائل التي تحتاج إلى إقامة حجة وإلى إزالة شبهة, هذا أولا. ثانيا, أن هناك فرقا عند أهل السنة بين المعصية وبين الاستشلال, فشرب الخمر مثلا معصية, أما من قال إن الخمر حلال فهذا كفر بالإجماع حتى ولو لم يشرب الخمر. فالحمد لله إن حكام بلاد الحرمين ولله الحمد والمنة هم الدولة التي تعلن تطبيق الشريعة وإقامة الحدود ولا تعول على القوانين الوضعية, بل ولله الحمد تنطلق من تطبيق الشريعة ومن إقامة الحدود ومن القيام بالعدل ومن دفع الظلم والظالمين على قدر الإمكان, والتقصير هذا لا ينفك عنه الإنسان فضلا عن ولي الأمر, فقد يقع من ولي الأمر تقصير, بل قد يقع ظلم ومعصية, ولكن هذا لا يجوز أن يكفر المسلم بسبب المعصية سواء كان حاكما أو محكوما. فهؤلاء يموهون على الناس, أعني هؤلاء الذين يكفرون حكام الحرمين, يموهون على الناس بوجود بعض تلك المخالفات التي يقر أهل السنة بأنها مخالفات وأنها من الأمور التي تخالف الشرع, ولكن هؤلاء يتضررون بتلك المخالفات التي قد تقع من حكام المسلمين، يتضررون بذلك إلى تكفيرهم، لأنهم يبنون على قاعدة الخوارج، ألا وهي قاعدة التكفير بالمعاصي، وهذا هو منهج الخوارج. وإلا فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في صحيح مسلم: اسمع وأطع للأمير وإن ضرب ظهرك وأخذ مالك. فهو حين يعتدي على مالي بغير حق، وحين يضرب ظهري بغير حق، أليس قد وقع في الظلم؟ الجواب: بلى، ولكن هذا ليس بكفر وإن كان معصية. لذلك فإن الواجب أن يدعى للسلطان بالصلاح، وأن لا تذكر مساوئه، وأن يناصح سرا كما هو قول أهل السنة. أما هؤلاء الخوارج فهم إن تركوا تطبيق الشريعة وحكموا بالقانون الوضعي قالوا كفار، لأنهم طبقوا القانون الوضعي، وإن حكموا بالشريعة قالوا كفار لأنهم يسمحون بوجود البنوك الربوية. فلا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. نعم.
الله يبارك فيكم شيخا. The Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan was asked a question: how do we deal with these people who spread the doubt that based on the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must remove those in power if they are upon clear disbelief? And nowadays we see clear disbelief from the government of Saudi Arabia, for example, because they made that which is halal into haram and that which is haram into halal, the example of which is to allow the interest-based banking and allowing the kuffar to reside in the holy lands. Shaykh Jazahullah Khair, and he said, firstly, I must address the fact that the matter of takfir, issuing judgments of disbelief, and to specify an individual or a group as disbelievers, this is from the specialties and the domain of the people of knowledge exclusively. Especially so if these are affairs that require the establishment of the proof and the removal of the doubts and the explanation of a confusing issue to some. Secondly, the people of the Sunnah differentiate between the sins and between deeming what is haram to be halal. For example, a man who drinks alcohol has fallen into a sin. However, whoever says alcohol is halal, is permissible, then regardless of whether he himself drinks it or not, he has fallen into kufr, and this is a matter of consensus. So by the permission of Allah and by the praise of Allah, the rulers of the lands of the two holy mosques are the government that publicly makes the claim to practice and apply the religion of Allah and His legislation, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And they are the ones that apply the punishments legislated in the book of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And they are the ones that do not rely upon man-made laws and rules for their justice system, but indeed, by the praise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they rely upon the legislation, and they rely upon the establishment of justice, and they rely upon executing the punishments mentioned in the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and they keep the transgressors at bay. And all of this is in accordance with the abilities and what is available at their resources. And however, shortcomings are part of human nature. Shortcomings are part of the nature of the led and likewise the leaders. And so, if some shortcomings are observed on the part of the leadership, or perhaps even transgression and a little veering here or there, then indeed we do not deem them to be disbelievers because they have erred or they have sinned, but rather the people who are upon the methodology of the Khawarij, they are the ones that attempt to confuse the people and use the likes of these scenarios and situations to make a claim that our leaders and our rulers are disbelievers. And the people of the Sunnah will agree and will corroborate the fact that what you are talking about is surely a mistake and surely a sin. However, they go beyond that and they take that as an excuse to build their arguments of issuing rulings of disbelief upon the rulers of Islam. And this is the methodology of the Khawarij, that they treat the sinners as disbelievers. For the Khawarij deem ones who sin to be ones who have left Islam altogether. أحسن الله إليكم شيخنا ما نريد الإطالة عليكم قدر من الأسئلة أبداً
لا بأس عليك أسأل الله لكم التوفيق
الله يبارك فيكم شيخنا إذا يعني إذا أحببتم ممكن يعني نأخذ من الأسئلة أو نكتفي ما كما تريدون شيخنا
يبدو أن جاءني ضيف الآن فأكتفي بهذا لأني جاءني ضيف الآن
الله يحفظكم شيخنا ويبارك فيكم
وسلم على إخوانك وإن شاء الله يكون معكم لقاء آخر بإذن الله
الله يبارك فيكم شيخنا جزاكم الله خير يصل بإذن الله تعالى
يبارك فيكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته The Sheikh Jazallah Khairan, he asked to be excused and he asked that his greetings of peace, salam, be delivered to the brothers. Actually, there is a portion of the last question that I seem to have glazed over where the Sheikh said, and there is a hadith in Sahih Muslim that further clarifies this issue, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, obey the leader. Even if he hits your back and he takes your money. So the Sheikh then goes on to explain, he says, if the leader, if the governor, the ruler, he hits my back unfairly and he takes my money unjustly, isn't this considered transgression and isn't this considered a mistake? Surely. However, we do not go so far as to deem this belief. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded that if this type of transgression was to occur from the leader, he said, obey him. But these people, they use the likes of these excuses to issue these rulings of takfir. They deem them disbelievers and thus they say we don't have to obey them. And this is contrary to that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded. What is obligatory upon us rather is to supplicate to Allah on behalf of our leadership, to ask Allah to guide them. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mend their affairs and to make them better to the people. And we don't expose their flaws and their mistakes publicly. And we do not speak about them publicly. But rather, if one of us was to advise them, we advise them in secret. We advise them privately. However, these people who are upon the methodology of the Khawarij, the methodology of the Takfiris, they will issue these rulings anyway. Whether the leadership and the rulers base their laws and their systems on the man-made laws, or they rule upon the judgment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then they'll also find an excuse. They'll say they have done this and they have done that. Either way, the leadership is unsafe from their treachery. And that's it. يعني, inshallah, the Sheikh concluded that answer there. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him lavishly for the time he has given us and to make beneficial for us and for him that which we have heard. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit all those who are involved in making this event happen. وجزاكم الله خيرا جميعا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.